Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Starting Five Podcast on SB Nation Grizz the Bear Blues. I am the one, P Shark.
What's going on, y'all, everybody? Good to see everybody again. Good to talk to y'all again. I'm at _ScoutLeak on Twitter, as always.
What is good, everybody? This is your guy, Trevor, a.k.a. the Chief of Staff of Dillon Brooks Island. What's good, everybody?
Hey, man. And when you're not in the corner, Trev, make sure you pass it down to your boy. It's really shitty. But let me double it back down to my big man in the post.
Yes, sir. Your big man, point center, Tev Shakira, a.k.a. Mr. Too Sexy for this pod. What it do, y'all?
No, that ain't it.
you want to Donda? I like Donda more, huh?
Okay. I haven't listened to Donda yet, so.
I ain't going to even lie. I'm talking, but I may be on that bandwagon. I got to finish the rest of Donda, but.
I'm going to check it out. I finished Certified Lover Boy. But today we have a guest. Thanks, man. Producer at Sports 56, Zach Boyd. How you doing, my guy?
Hey, man. What's going on with y'all?
Man, nothing much. Southwind alum. You forgot to put that in his bio.
Oh, yeah. Southwind alum. 2012. You know, we about to come up on 10 years since graduating, man. Like, you know.
Oh, so I got a question for that.
We're getting old.
I got a question for that. Since my class, 2010, me and Skyler's class, 2010, mm-hmm. we never had our reunion because of COVID. Do you think y'all would have a reunion next year?
If he has to think about it, he already has his answer.
Here's the thing. Like, here's the thing. Like, I think it's possible. I don't think this Delta is gonna let up anytime soon. So it could, in theory, we could have a reunion, but you know, it just depends, man. Because if everybody catch COVID like at the same time, then it's like, yeah, like. Just cut this off. We're gonna try again next year, and just, you know, hopefully that time the Delta would let up. But it's up in the air. I'm hoping so I can see like a bunch of my high school buddies that I haven't seen or talked to in almost 10 years. So, but it'd be good. It'll be good to see everybody, man. Catch up on everybody. So, but also, man, like let me say this. Like I don't know if people. If you guys are listening or seeing their podcast, the Let's Be Real podcast, like these are five black men on this pod, man, doing their thing, talking about sports, man, doing like it's hard to find those voices, you know, especially like African American voices talking sports throughout the city. So shouts out to y'all, man, and the grind that y'all put in to make this work.
Appreciate it, brother.
Always, man.
And of course, being the radio background that I have is also, you know, kind of rare to find black men in the positions that you are as well, with you being a producer of Sports 56. So how long you been there?
It'll be about 3 years in October.
About three years.
So it's almost immediately out of college. So it'll be about 3 years. So it's a lot of fun once you, because you're the first show in the morning. So you gotta
come with it.
Yeah, you gotta come with it. Gotta spice it up a little bit. So, you know, it has its challenges getting up super early in the morning, but you know, it's a lot of fun being around Peter and Sane in the morning. So.
is with sports, of course, basketball, football. What's your favorite team? Like, we got to get to know you, Zach. You know what I'm saying? We're part of the brotherhood now. You're welcome to our brotherhood, right. Even though most of us think, or some of us think, go to Southland. It is what it is. Right. But now you're a part of the brotherhood now. So, I mean, what's your favorite sports team? I hope it's not the Cowboys.
It is definitely the Cowboys.
Oh, you tried
it. It is definitely the Cowboys. But let me explain, because I'm a different breed of a Cowboys fan here, because I actually like go back and like rewatch games and like break stuff down and try to see what happened during the game. I don't act on pure emotion unless somebody's coming at me with pure emotion. Then it's like, okay, now you flogging right now. So I got to act up. But most of the time, I'm very logical with how everything is happening. So, like, in my mind, Dak is a top five quarterback. That's easy off the rip. You can't change my mind about that. He is top five, in my opinion. Like, if you're going to say Mahomes and Rodgers are one and two, I say, okay, cool. So, who's the next three? I guess y'all going to throw in Brady. Okay, so who's four and five? Going to say Russ? Okay, cool. Number five? I think it's Dak. I need to see more from Lamar. I need to see more from Josh Allen.
I know this ain't a football podcast. I need right. So last season wasn't enough from Josh Allen?
No, man. This is only one season.
Okay.
It's only we gotta
get on that. We gotta definitely talk more about that. We gotta come on, let's be real, bro. But now so as far as the Grizz go, of course, you've been doing your thing, you said, for 3 years in the city of Memphis. What's your take on, I guess, this upcoming Memphis Grizzly season? Well, I guess let's backtrack a little bit. Okay. Do you have any favorite Memphis Grizzly moments any favorite players?
Let's backtrack a little bit. So, favorite Grizzly moment. Most of it is very recent because I was in the building for most of the games the last couple of years. So, like, the game winner against Brooklyn early 2019, 2020, like that building was jumping. And I was, like, in the back room somewhere just watching the game. And, like, that building was crazy. I know we sat courtside for the first time during the Grit and Grind era. I think that was the year when Tayshaun was getting there, when they traded Rudy for Tayshaun. And like, we was showing up late. The Grizz was down big in the first quarter. And like, as soon as like we stepped in the arena, got to our seats, like the Grizzlies just flipped the switch and like won by like 20 something by that game. It was like very fun, very entertaining game. So, favorite players. I mean, like, I joke around and say, like, man, like, Jake Sokolidis is my favorite guy, man. Like, if you don't know Jake Sokolidis, you don't know Memphis Grizzlies or whatever.
That would be my only thing to do is ask you to spell that man's name.
So funny thing, I actually spelled his name correctly one time. I can't. If you ask me right now, I'm probably going to butcher it.
start with a T.
I'll butcher it. It starts with a T. S A. Sokolidis, something like that. I don't know. I might have butchered it, but favorite player is probably Stromile, because he gets to throw up the bird every time he dunks, and like, you know, like, let's fly. We're about to fly, take off. Stromile was my guy. Rudy was my guy. I mean, like a lot of the bench players were like favorites of mine. Like y'all might turn y'all noses up, but Torrence Kinsey at one point when they were sucking was like,
he
was balling, dog.
He was a bucket. Wow, that's a nice
though. He was balling.
Some names being named today. Let's go.
I'm saying. So, like, all the popular names, like, I know, like, T.A., Z-Bo are, like, fan favorites, Mike. But, like, guys, like I connected to was, like, that early, the mid-2000s teams, like, right before, you know, the Fratello with the Ivorone years, man.
Oh,
like, that
my
was,
God. Oh, yeah, you hear that. You hear that.
that was the team with Mike Miller, Damon Stoudemire, Chucky Atkins, Was it Eddie Jones, Bobby Jackson?
Come on, dog.
I mean, like, that was Hakeem Warwick, man. Come on, man.
That's
like,
one of my favorites.
Like, come on. Like, so that was the team for me. Like, and obviously, you know, as the NBA kind of gotten more pace and space, wide open, shooting more threes than twos, then it's like, okay, cool. Like, who's the high flyer, dunker, shooter that I like? So, and that's pretty much, yeah, that's pretty much all the players. And even like some of the newer players, I'm still kind of like getting a feel for them. But like, it's mostly like the old school Grizzly guys that I'm like really into. So. Mm-hmm.
Nice. Do you have any what are your expectations for this season? A lot of people felt that we did overachieve last season with a bunch of young players. I think we did pretty well. But coming into this season, it's a lot of expectations. So what are your expectations for the Grizz this season?
My expectations are the same. And you're not going to like it, but this team is still in a rebuild. And the reason I say that is because, yes, they overachieve with the young guys that they have. And, yes, they played out of their minds at certain points throughout the season. But this is still a young team, a small market team, a team that is still trying to build assets and trying to win. They're trying to win 10 years down the road, not the next two. So, because like a lot of fans and we talked about this on the show. Well, we mentioned it on the show that, you know, being a diehard fanatic fan with all your emotions built into it, like, it's a lot of fun because like there's no logic to your fandom. You just a fan. You just want to win. You just want to be excited. But when you're like actually covering the team, having to break things down, having to break down trades, and like understanding like what they're trying to do, it's like it kind of sucks a little bit because it's like, man, like I really just want to go in here just gun ho, not having to think about expectations, just go out and win as many games as you can so we can make the playoffs again. But in like realistically, they could be back in a play-in situation with the team that they have. I mean, they might improve. I'm hoping they improve because they're the first year with Ja. Like, man, like, man, I was telling guys, I was like, man, like, this team is playing out of their mind. Like, if they mess around getting into the playoffs and play out of their mind, like, I'm getting ready to get my ring size for my championship ring. Man, like, I was that confident in that team. But I had to pull it back a little bit because I know, like, this is not a sprint. This is a marathon for this team. Especially for a lot of these small market teams. So I say temper your expectations a little bit. Expect this is a year three of a rebuild, even though they're playing well, but they will be in that conversation because the team is going to be good with Ja on this team. They're going to be good with D'Anthony Melton, another year of D'Anthony Melton, another year of Desmond Bane. And then maybe, who knows what they're going to do with Dylan and Kyle, but this team is still going to be good heading into next year. They're just going to be where they are now, and then you might see them make that next move in 2022.
Especially if a certain player has a breakout year, right?
Of course. Like, you know what it is. Unicorn season here in Memphis. Come on, man.
Yes, I'm not alone.
It's unicorn season, man.
Good. Yeah, Ja Morant is definitely a unicorn. I agree.
Come on. Stop the cap. Come on, man. It's unicorn season, man. Like, I am happy that Jaren is finally doing basketball things instead of rehabbing. I'm happy that he's able to do it. That's why I was excited to see him on the court with all the other NBA guys, getting their run in and just seeing him just going through the movements, and you can tell like there's no hesitation like in his movements. You know, when you watch the last 11 games, like you can see that, like, you know you can see that he's trying to fit in, that he's trying to continue to do his thing but also not mess up the chemistry of the team and what they're doing on the floor. So I mean, it's hard to find a 7-footer that can shoot from 40% from three and can block shots on one end, Skyler. I'm just saying, man. It's hard to find them, man. It's hard to find them.
It's not really.
It's hard to find them. So,
if you say so, my brother. Hey, again, I'm one of those people that, you know, he has to show me more. But I mean, I'm still rooting for him. It's not like I'm rooting against the guy. It's just I'm on the side of the fence where I'm more skeptical than optimistic about it. That's it.
So I listened to the podcast on like a couple weeks ago. And I kind of like made a stank face because like somebody said something in the lines of like, if Jaren doesn't have a good season this year, I'm going to trade him. I don't know who.
Everybody know but me. Everybody but me.
Yeah. And if I can elaborate, it wasn't me either, or it could have been. But I don't even want it to be a whole season. I want it to be before the trade deadline happens. There before the stock goes down, to be honest, to your point. So if Triple G, if the unicorn can shoot 40% from three, can give you a block shot or two, whatever that is, let's see what we can get for him. Because your earlier point also said that those last 11 games of the season where he played, he didn't want to mess up the chemistry of the team. That team was a playoff contending team. So if we can trade that unicorn before his value goes down, i.e. somebody else that I know, I would love to see what we could get in lieu of that. I know we're talking about trading later, so I'll pause my comments now because I'm not from Southwind, so I'll stop.
So who do you have in mind that you want to get rid of? You want to bring in? Who's that player?
Oh, let me tell you something. It's not BS. but honestly, I would love for a triple unicorn to try his luck in Boston. And I would love to see Jaylen Brown come here instead. And I know that would take a few more pieces that we would have to offer. But I'll pull the trigger for that.
Yeah, that's a name that a bunch of us
would love. Zach, you look like that.
Exactly.
You look like that. Yeah. Come on, Zach. Come on, Zach. Come on, Zach.
Another option in my mind, if we could pull it off, and I'm pretty sure it's going to take another few pieces. We got a street named after him. So if we can pull it off, throw 3J out there, like Sheedy said, if Washington.
Here's the thing with that, though. Trevor, that makes sense. That makes sense for the Grizzlies. Does that make sense for the Washington? That's the thing. That doesn't make sense for Washington.
Washington hasn't made a respectable deal since God knows when. They gave John Wall a ridiculous contract.
Drafting John Wall?
They took on Russ's contract just to flip him a year later. Yeah. They still don't know what they're doing with Bradley Beal. So they gave Davis Bertans that ridiculous amount of money in free agency, and you haven't heard his name since the 3-point shootout. So, yeah. I could finesse the Wizards with that.
And that trade doesn't help their history of a trade to prove either.
All right. So let me push back on y'all real quick, just a little bit. So the thing is that like you can check and see if Jaren has some value on the trade market, and maybe like they might move Jaren. Who knows? Like they've been very unpredictable these last couple of months in free agency, this offseason. But I don't think they're going to move him because he is part of the culture of this team. He is a part of this team. And like I had a conversation with somebody the other day. They said that John Collins is better than Jaren. And I said, when? When was John Collins better than Jaren? Because like John Collins was unhappy in Atlanta. John Collins was wanting to get traded out of Atlanta because he was unhappy with his role. It was not until the playoffs where we saw John Collins show up and actually be the John Collins that everybody thought he was going to be his first 4 years in the NBA. So, and then he got a 5-year, $100 million contract. So in my mind, I'm thinking to myself like, okay, cool. Like John Collins, he's a pretty good player. He's about the same age in the same age bracket as Jaren. So why can't Jaren get a 5-year, $100 million deal? Like,
because Jaren Jackson is not available when the Grizzlies need him.
Is that his fault, or is it that the Grizzlies in itself are holding him back?
That has to be his fault. Who else's fault would it be? I'm not sure you can blame the Grizzlies for that.
Well, here's the thing. So let's take a trip back down to memory lane here. So Jaren's first year with the Grizzlies, he was fine, playing well with Mike and Mark before everybody got shipped off. And then next thing you know, he hurt his knee, foot, whatever lower leg injury was, sat out for the rest of the year. Now, he could have played towards the back end of that season, but the Grizzlies front office said, no, we're just going to hold you out for next season. Makes sense. Next season comes around. Oh, Jaren is going off, shooting 40% from three, second leading scorer on the team. Like, yeah, foul trouble is a concern. Doesn't matter. The unicorn, second year, everything is gravy. He went off against the Bucks with seven threes in that third quarter explosion. Mm-hmm. Everything was going well. Shut down the bubble. Zion stepped on his knee. Zion steps on his knee. Bubble experience is over for Jaren, and he was balling in the bubble as well.
That is fine with Zach, but still, he got hurt. Regardless of how he got hurt, the man got hurt.
You can't control injuries. I get it. You can't control injuries, but the guy was balling. He was balling in the bubble. Like, you knew that if Jaren and if at least Jaren was on that team in the bubble, you had a shot.
Woulda, coulda, shoulda.
You had a shot. And even with all of that, you know, job being fantastic, you know, managed to get it close. And then you come to this season. Mm-hmm. This season, quick off season, started season because of COVID. They held him out until April.
Okay.
I personally feel like, looking at the timeline of the injury, looking at how he was progressing, looking at social media posts of his, and even the interview from the Undefeated with Mark Spears, I personally felt like he could have played in March.
I agree.
Got into basketball shape, and we would not have this conversation about Jaren. That's my personal opinion. Mm-hmm. But because the front office and because the team kind of slow played with Jaren, we only got 11 games of Jaren. And now we're having conversations now about, is Jaren fits the timeline with this team? Is Jaren can be a part of the playoff team?
Because
it's like,
he didn't look well in those 11 games. I hear your point. Yeah. He could have came back in March.
Right.
Totally agree with that. Then you still got that extra time to be in as best shape as you could, to work on your jumper, to learn how to box out and grab rebounds. Because it's it's not just points that we have an issue with. He doesn't rebound the ball well either. So he came back.
So here's the thing. So I get it, the whole rebounding, he's a 7-footer. I think at times Jaren do need to bring a certain level of toughness. Mm-hmm. But rebounding is really, to me, it's 50-50 for me. Because to me, I kind of look at Jaren as a big shooting guard. I just look at him as a big shooting guard. Just the fact that he just long and lanky, yes, he's 7 feet tall, 7 foot tall. Like, he needs to go underneath the basket and rebound with the big boys or whatever. But he is 7 feet tall, shoots it from three. We got little bitty guys like DeAnthony Melton, Ja, even Kyle at times, like, that can go in and like are pretty good rebounders than Jaren.
I'm sorry, and Steven Adams.
Big Steve and them will help out there, but Russ's averaged 10 plus rebounds for like the past few years. I'm just asking Jaren to give me 6 to 8.
Okay,
and he's giving me a little less than that. There has been games where he's only had one, possibly two rebounds. Like, I need him between 6 and 8 at least. I get everything you're saying about him being a big guard and everything, but can you give me at least 6 to 8? I'm not asking him to get 10. I'm not asking him to be a double-double machine. I'm just saying 6 to 8.
Honestly, I'm asking him just to get to five. I want you to get 5 rebounds. Because my thing is, like with Jaren, you got to let him build into his body. When Jaren came into the league, Brad was like skin T with a T.
Yeah, not he's with still a Y. 21. I'm with you.
He is skin T with a T. And he probably still is, but he has bulked up a lot over the offseason. So, like, my like for Jaren, this is a 5-year conversation for him. This is 5 years. I need let him get 5 years of this, because at age 19 playing at Mississippi State, he sort of could get away with it because he's playing against college players. He's bigger, he's taller, maybe a little bit faster, and probably a little bit more skilled than those in college. But in the NBA, you're playing against grown men. We probably talked about it a lot, that he was getting pushed around down low in the box. So, okay, cool. Like, let him get pushed around down low in the box. Let him build his body so that by the time he is 24, 25, 26, when he gets that next contract, we will see a different level of Jaren. We will not see Mississippi State Jaren playing for the Grizzlies. We will actually see the Jaren Jackson, Michigan State. Did I say Mississippi State? Yeah, I did.
Yes.
Michigan State.
Michigan State.
All right.
Same. They're the same. They're pretty much the same college.
No. You will not disrespect the great Tom Izzo. Like,
no, yeah, bro, I can't allow that.
I'll say this just to wrap up this topic, because I know it's a couple things we got left to talk on the podcast.
Right.
Again, I don't think anybody on this podcast is like, we have to trade Jaren now.
Okay.
There's just concern on this side, there's concern from people on this podcast to say, I don't know if you want to put all your chips, or if you want to push your chips to the middle of the table, say, okay, Jaren, here you go. There's reason. We have reason for concern. There's injury issues. We talked about the lack of physicality. We talked about, you know, his inability to rebound the ball well. Again, we've seen flashes of it, but can he consistency is key on this podcast, Zach. Can he consistently give you 18 to 20 and 6 to 8 rebounds? There's questions about that on this podcast. And so that's why we're like, I don't know if you want to throw out a max deal at him, because honestly, I'm not waiting 5 years on a prospect that I drafted top five in draft. Sorry, I'm not waiting 5 years on that. It ain't enough time, because you have to also keep Ja Morant happy. And is Ja Morant going to be happy in 2 or 3 more years when you're like, we still waiting on Jaren Jackson?
He's Bruno Caboclo. He's 2 years away from being 2 years away.
Don't disrespect the unicorn like that, man. Come on now. Don't disrespect the unicorn. Even though Bruno was baby Durant for a minute with the Grizzlies.
He was
shooting the rock, man. Like, I ain't gonna hold you. He was shooting the rock.
If one more person calls anybody baby KD, because the reason Tuka's laughing is because he had the nerve to call somebody baby KD.
Oh, it was Kelly Oubre.
Kelly Oubre? Oh,
Junior.
Come on, Sergeant. Let's talk about the retirement of the numbers, please.
Let's go.
So my thing is that by the time Jaren is the Jaren that we all expect him to be, the Grizzlies should be a playoff team. Matter of fact, they should be contending for the championship.
They should be more than a playoff team.
I said they should be contending for a championship. Yeah, so it gives it gives the front office a little bit more time to kind of like shape this roster a little bit. Let's bring in the guys that we need to bring in, and like, let's build this team. And that's why you see them working the margins here. That's why you see them. You saw them go out and trade for Jared Culver for Minnesota, because he wasn't getting any play time. Okay, cool. We're gonna see about the trade with Boston with Chris Dunn and Carson Edwards. I'm not sure exactly the plan with them.
I doubt they make the 15-man roster.
Chris Dunn and Carson Edwards?
Yeah, that trade still kind of got me like,
gonna be in Scott Haven, man.
I'm just saying.
Chris Dunn will make it.
I need that Snoop Dogg clip from
Chris Dunn will make it, but Carson Edwards gonna be in South Haven, man.
Hey, man, y'all put some respect on Carson Edwards, man. He was a bucket at Purdue.
Absolutely.
He was a bucket, walking bucket. But
the NBA.
But the thing is with Jaren, like, you gotta let him get out of that rehab stage. Like, now that he's actually doing basketball things, we're going to see Jaren be the Jaren of, 2 years ago. We're going to see that Jaren.
I hope so.
Maybe a little bit more, because now he has bulked up a little bit.
Need to cut it back.
But so. to But for me to sit here and say, we definitely got to get see if he has some trade value for him. It's like that's kind of counterproductive because Grizzlies front office in the past have given up on young players so quickly that we're like, as fans at the time, we're sitting there with our arms up and saying like, yo, like, why isn't such and such player ain't playing, man? Like, he's a first round pick. Play him. Like, let's play him. Let's see what we can get for him. Or let's see if he can play at least.
Yeah.
So at least with this front office, they're letting these young guys play. They're letting them make mistakes. Like, I wasn't a big fan of the Zaire Williamson pick because my guy was James Bouknight. And he went to
Charlotte. Thank you.
So, like, and I'm a, by the way, just a little excerpt. I'm a big hooper guy. So if you can hoop and I can see that you can hoop and get buckets, you are welcome to my team. So, like, with Zaire, like, I wasn't a big fan. But we said from the jump, they need to take a big swing. We need a big swing on upside. Clearly, this guy is a big swing on upside because he is 6'9", 6'10", can handle the ball. It was a pretty
Be careful what you wish for.
I'm just saying they had to take a swing on Zaire.
Would you take that big of a swing? Would you take that big of a swing though, trading in the top 10? Because a few of us on this pod think he would have been available at 17.
I think he would have been available at 17, but because you're able to go up seven spots, the draft pool gets a little bit bigger. Because at first you was thinking to yourself, or the projection was, oh, well, maybe we can get a Chris Duarte. I mean, he looked great in summer league, but we'll see in the NBA, but with the big league. But with Chris Duarte, we was like, okay, cool. Like, he fits with the Grizzlies as an old veteran, college veteran that can play right now. Maybe Moses Moody falls to number 17 somehow, which I think he came close to, I think, at one point.
He was at 14. He got taken at 14.
14. So,
out of dubs.
Right. So by moving up seven spots, the draft pool gets bigger. So then now you're in play for a Kuminga. Now you're in play for a Zaire, for Moses Moody, for James Bouknight. So your pool gets bigger by moving up to 17. At the expense of JV, yeah, it hurts. But you get a replacement level player in Steven Adams, can do sort of similar things, don't have to demand the ball, which is big, so you can let your young guys play. And then you pretty much kept flipping Eric Bledsoe for Pat Bev Rondo.
I hope it was Pat P. Honestly, you needed
Pat P. Somebody. Like, honestly, they could have flipped Pat P. for a couple of seconds in too. So, you know, like, they get the job done. But by moving up to 10, they worked along the margins of the team. At the expense of JV, they were able to work around the margins there. So they had to take a swing at a big guard in Zaire, because their potential as a team could go through the roof if Zaire and Jaren both can get their act, can both stay on the floor, be productive, and take their ceiling through the roof for the Grizzlies. Or, I mean, you got pretty much a 7-foot two-way guard and another 6'10 two-way small forward that are high-end rotation players that you can use to leverage for something else down the line. So
that's all I wanted to hear you say.
It's on the table, but I'm not so quick to give up on Jaren so quickly because he hasn't.
We're saying I'm one of those people. I like to look long term. I like to have options,
of course,
right? And again, let's say we hope and pray that Jaren Jackson is the guy that we saw right before the bubble,
right?
But flip side of the coin, let's say he's not. Let's say he gets hurt again. So then now you're stuck with this 7 foot two guard that you got that you can't get rid of. That's your issue. And you would at least want to have done your due diligence to say, okay, Boston, okay, I don't know, Minnesota, whoever. You at least want to put that phone call in just to say, okay, here it is, December 15th. Jaren Jackson is not where we want him to be. We had this conversation with Minnesota. We had this conversation with Boston a month ago. Let's call and see if that trade is still on the table. If it's still on the table, you move. That's what I do. If he's not where you want to be in December, you move him.
This because
you have to make, you have, yes, this December.
Of 2021?
Of 2021.
Well, here's my question. Here's my question on that. Is this him signing the extension, or this is him without signing the extension yet? Because that plays a part into all of this too.
Whatever it takes to get a trade.
Which then at that point you would hold this, which I would say you without the extension, because then if you sign him to that extension, can you come off the book? Can you come off of that? Can you come off the money?
Every contract is tradable. We've seen that with Eric Bledsoe. We've seen that with Patrick Beverley. We've seen that with Westbrook. We've seen it with Chris Paul. Every contract is tradable. It's just how much are you willing to get off that contract? That's the biggest question.
Speaking of contracts, let's move forward to another contract of a player who is in Philly, who just officially demanded a trade, but the team don't want him anyway. Ben Simmons.
Oh boy.
Should the Grizzlies look into possibly trade from Ben Simmons?
So my viewpoint has changed on Ben Simmons, because I watched the playoffs. We've all seen the first 5-6 years of Ben Simmons in the NBA, and we knew about his thing of not shooting in college. And I said at the time, I don't want Ben Simmons. I don't want a piece of him. I stay away from him. Like he doesn't. We need shooting. Like that's the running joke for our show. It's like every person that we brought, we want to bring in. It's like, man, can he shoot? We're like, we need a shooter, man. We need a shooter. Like, can we get a shooter?
Is this?
And so he doesn't fit that shooting mold. So it's like, yeah, no, I'm staying away from him. But circumstances change over time, and my thing on Ben Simmons is that because Philadelphia doesn't have a whole lot of leverage, and that plays a big part of this, because Philadelphia doesn't have a whole lot of leverage, and every team in the NBA knows that Ben Simmons wants out of Philadelphia, the Grizzlies are in play for Ben Simmons. I feel like they should be in play. Because at this point now, because of the JV trade, you end up getting the Lakers first round pick in 2022. So now you're sitting at three first round picks in 2022, yours, Utah's, and the Lakers. And then also you have Golden State's 2024 first. And then you have the rest of your draft picks that you have down the line, because you got rid of the Boston obligations from the Jeff Green debacle. So you got all your first round picks. You got all those first round picks to play with. And then you have contracts that you can move to go get them. Now, do I want them to trade Dylan? Probably not. Ideally, I probably don't want to trade Dylan. But
I'll be the first day smoking down at wherever headquarters that happens, ready for smoke. If Ben Simmons is traded for Dylan Brooks, I swear.
But because Desmond Bane looks like he's ready to break out, because DeAnthony Melton had a great second year with third year. He shot the ball really well from three, which was something that, again, like, we need shooting on this team. So he shot the ball really well from three. So he's like, okay, cool. Can, in an expanded role, now that Grayson's been moved, can he replicate that on a higher per minute per game type of deal? Then you bring in Zaire. And then at this point, now you're just looking at it like, okay, cool. Like, we got three guys that can rotate the small forward position. You know, they probably might add another guy, or, you know, who knows, like, maybe Chris Dunn stays on the team. Maybe Tyus Jones stays on the team. So you might run a 2-point guard lineup. I'm just throwing it out there, you know. But it allows, at least with that trade for Ben Simmons, it will allow you to have a secondary ball handler, so that now that Ja can just run shooting guard if they're going with Ben Simmons in starting lineup with Ja. And then, like, if you go into the bench, okay, cool. Like, Ja goes to the bench. Plug in De'Anthony Melton. Okay, now you got two shooters. You might get another shooter in Jaren. And then, I don't know, you throwing in Brand. You probably throwing in Brandon Clark in the deal, maybe. I don't know. But, you know, it gives you flexibility. It gives you an idea of having big guards or big wing players having to guard around the perimeter and can rebound and can push the ball. Go ahead.
Cool. Leverage.
Okay.
So the stock of Ben Simmons went down after last year because of what you just talked about in the playoffs. Ben Simmons was the one that was on the books for why they didn't go get James Harden. Ben Simmons was on the books for why they didn't go get Kyle Lowry. And now nobody wants Ben Simmons.
Yeah, don't forget.
Well, I wouldn't say they don't want him. They probably don't want him at the price that Philly is throwing out.
That's what it is.
Don't forget. They let Jimmy Butler go because of Ben Simmons.
They did. And that's always the hindsight 2020. But this hindsight is like very bad for Daryl Morey and like everybody at Philly. Cause it's like, yeah, like all you had to do was give up Ben Simmons to get James Harden. Mm-hmm. Probably would have been a different team if they would have just gave up Ben Simmons, but they decided to hold on to him. Same way with the Raptors. All you had to do to get Kyle Lowry, just gotta give up Ben Simmons. And then at that, man, like that'd have been crazy with OG, Ben Simmons, and Pascal, like 3, 4, 5. Good grief. So, you know, it plays in favor of small market teams that have cap space. That have cap space and also have assets. And this plays in right into the Grizzlies' hands. Because we was going through teams that they said that was reported to be in for Ben Simmons. So it's like, okay, they said Ben Simmons wanted to go to one of the three, you know, California teams. And so I'm like, okay, cool. Lakers know they are on an AARP worldwide tour. The Clippers, I don't think so. They're pretty much running their team back. So I doubt it. They want to make that type of move. The Warriors could make that move, but ideally, how does Ben Simmons, Draymond Green fit?
Yeah, we good. We good.
How does that fit? And so then, like, yep. Sacramento is trash. So,
who?
Like,
who?
Sacramento's trash. Did I hurt somebody's feelings?
Oh, no, dude, no, not okay. at all.
I was about to say, like, don't tell me somebody on here is a Sacramento person, man. Like, but, and then, like, Minnesota's been terrible for, like, the last 5 years. So it's All the teams that they thrown out there, even with the Raptors, I don't think the Raptors, I think they'd be better off just building their team through the draft rather than just give up everything just to get Ben Simmons, just to have a name. But for the Grizzlies, because they have a star, young star in Ja, because they have young guys on the team that can play, you can see the Grizzlies in play for Ben Simmons. And then on top of that, like I think somebody said that they were obviously in on was it Alex Giddey or the Giddey kid?
Josh Giddey
from Australia. So like what Sane said last week, man, you wanted Josh Giddey and now you have a chance to get a Supermax Josh Giddey, who's already played 6 years in the NBA. And so, you know, I think for the Grizzlies, yeah, put your name in there. Let's call around. Let's see how much it's willing to take. If it takes a Kyle Anderson, Dylan Brooks, Tyus Jones, Brandon Clark, and like two or three first round picks to get Ben Simmons, I will be the guy with the lights at the airport, Memphis International Airport, just kind of guiding them onto the runway, man. Like, let's go. Because ideally with Ben Simmons, with the whole Ben Simmons thing, is that initially, yes, I did not want Ben Simmons, But if you can get him on a discount because Philly doesn't have leverage, you make a run at Ben Simmons because now the discount because of that discount.
I think we can end right here. Daryl Morey calling the shots in Philly, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yes. On Let's Be Real, I made the case. I said Daryl Morey is going to be the reason why they get they got a better trade in Russell Westbrook than they did in James Harden. Daryl Morey asking for everything in the world is going to be the same reason that Ben Simmons' value continues to go down because they're not going to trade him when he needs to be traded, or better yet, when he needed to be traded. So
right,
it's a Daryl Morey move, and he's going to again screw up the situation like he did in Houston.
And then on top of that, just real quickly, like Ben Simmons is a Rich Paul guy. Like same brought this up too. Ben Simmons is a Rich Paul guy. We've been dealing with Rich Paul clients for like the last 2 years because of trades. And because we've done his clients well by either trading them to another spot or buying them out and letting them go to another team for a championship at least. Like, we have credibility to say, yo, Rich Paul, yo, put our names in with Ben Simmons. See if we can get Ben Simmons to come to Memphis. Because now he could play with Ja, he could play with Jaren, he could play with Desmond and whoever. And we can, like, and he will be happy here because we're a bunch of young dudes that's trying to get better. We're a young team trying to get better. And, like, our culture is phenomenal, man, in the NBA, man. Like, everybody has positive things to say about this young Grizzlies team. The only thing that's bad is because they are young. Other than that, like, there's nothing but positives. And so it fits well with what the Grizzlies are saying. Go ahead.
I think the biggest factor in if the Grizzlies go after Ben Simmons revolves around number 12. The reason I say revolves around number 12 is the work that's being said that John Morant is putting in the gym on his ability to shoot the ball from three, does that come to fruition? If he can shoot the ball well from three, if he can consistently make jump shots, then you go get Ben Simmons. If he continues to struggle with making jump shots, if he continues to struggle with shooting the ball from the three-point line, you don't want that. You don't want that problem. You do not want your backcourt of guards to struggle with shooting the ball from three, because then if you have two guards who cannot shoot the ball from deep at all, then Jaren Jackson, my honest opinion, I will gladly say this, will probably look as worse that he's, I won't say he's going to look worse, but he's not going to look as great as we would want him to look, because there's no spacing. There's no room for Jaren Jackson to work. He doesn't have that good of a post game already. So if you're struggling with, you know, shooting the ball with your two guards, Ben Simmons, in my opinion, doesn't work. Now, if John Morant is shooting the ball 38-40% from three, if he's consistently making jump shots as Trae Young showed us in the playoffs, then you go get him, because it's not like Ben Simmons is that bad. He's right. That bad offensively, but he's a really good defender, which, I mean, anybody would want that good of a defender on your team. He's going to make everybody around he's going to make every player on your team that much better. He's going to make Ja Morant's life better. He's going to make Jaren Jackson's life better. He's going to make everybody's life that much better if he's on your team. But flip side of that coin is, can he, we already know he can't shoot the ball or will not shoot the ball. So that's going to hinder the ability for John Morant to get open shots, Jaren Jackson to get open shots. John Morant has, I think he's the key factor in if you pull that trade off for Ben Simmons.
I think ideally here, let's say the Grizzlies do end up getting Ben Simmons. So in an optimum lineup for the Grizzlies, you would say what? Ja, Desmond, Zaire, Jaren, Ben Simmons, and then Jaren. You are like you already got two good three-point shooters. Or let's just sub out Zaire and put in De'Anthony Melton. You're going to be really small in your backcourt. But you got three pretty good shooters. At this point, you know, you can let Ben Simmons run along the baseline. Like, hey, just run along the baseline, set screens. We're going to hit you. All you got to do is just dunk it. Or you just float to the corner, because the corner is the shortest three in the NBA. Float to both sides of the corner. Just shoot the corner three. Like, I think ideally, because I think for Ja, he just need to get to 35. Get to 35. Because he shot, 33 his rookie year, 33% his rookie year from three. Man, if you just get to 35, just make it respectable to the point where teams have to, like, guard you from three. Then, like, that could work. That could work. I think this past year you saw Ja taking a lot more threes than normal because teams were actually scheming him to take those threes. Like, yeah, at some point he has to knock him down. I believe he can knock him down. But I'm not as concerned of the spacing because we have the three-point shooting to space the floor really well. We have the guys that can knock him down. We might need to get a couple more guys, but we have the guys as of right now that can knock down those shots.
Chris, you got 20 people on the roster. I'm not sure how many more people you can
have. Hey, listen, man. Like, look, we can treat this like a super minor league team, man. Like, just call them up. We got COVID protocol. Okay, man. Just bring up Carson Edwards, man. He ain't doing that, man. Just bring him
up. So, yeah, you got 30 his rookie season, 34 this past season. So
that's from three?
I mean, no, 33 his rookie season and 30% this past season. Sorry about that. So,
yeah. So if he just shoots 35, man, make it respectable to the point where, okay, like he's actually knocking down his 3-point shots. Then now it's like, okay, cool. Like Ja can just do his thing, get into the paint, fake him one time, kick it out to the corner or kick it out to Ben Simmons cutting down the baseline. So it's like, you know, it's there's an idea of it. And then on top of that, the Grizzlies coaching staff in itself, they've done a really good job of developing those guys and letting those guys play through their mistakes. Even though at times we have sat here, you guys sat here on your show talking about, man, like, why is he letting these guys get in so much run? Like, play the guys that can win you the game. Well, now, like, at this point, because you let those guys make as many mistakes as they can, they now know what to do and what not to do. And they're heading into, for some guys, year three and year four. So now, you know, you're setting yourself up to where now, like, if you do add Ben Simmons to this team, shooting isn't that big of an issue. Because one, you got the guys. And then two, like, you can lean on your development of players to knock down those shots. You can develop those guys. Get them in the gym and work on it. So, yeah, for me, like, if Ben Simmons coming in for the cheap, wave him, like, wave the plane, man. Let's come on. Like, we're gonna send this to Philly, man. Like, come on. Package those two or three first round picks, and let's ship this trade to Philly. Let's get Ben Simmons in here, man.
Cool. Well, Zach, man, that's it for the show. We appreciate you coming on. You plug where everybody can follow you at.
Yeah, man. Follow me on Twitter. That's where I'm mainly at. That's Rack City Zach. That's Rack City Zach on Twitter.
Rack City.
I mean, listen, man. The city of Racks. We always moving money, man. You just never know. We might have to sprinkle some over here a little bit, you know, just to help out with the growth. But yeah, follow me on Twitter, Rack City Zach. I do have a podcast show. It's on SoundCloud. It's the Zach Boyd Show. Currently, we are under reconstruction, but we will be back soon. I will let you guys know, but we are under reconstruction at the Zach Boyd Show. But you can keep up with that on SoundCloud. And you can listen to some of the other previous interviews that I've had on the last year and a half or so. So you should check it out.
Cool. And as always, we can listen to you every morning, Monday through Friday, yeah, from 7 to 10. Yeah.
With 7 to 10, 560, 98.5. FM, like 7 to 10, man. Peter Insane, Zach Boyd, producer. We will bring tomfoolery every morning to you guys.
Yes, every single morning.
You don't know what we're going. You do not know what we're going to talk about. We don't even know what we're going to be talking about in the morning. So, like, that's how crazy our show is, and we do get sideways from time to time. But we'll bring the fun with you. You will get your laugh. We'll get you going in the morning while you're heading on to work. Well, it's Labor Day weekend here possibly, so you know, we'll get you going to start your Monday off the right way, man.
For sure. And as always, you know, listen to all the other podcasts on the GBB Network, Core 4, GBB Live, The Long View, and 3ND podcast, along with us at Starting Five. But remember, you can follow me at DeWine underscore P Sharp.
I'm at underscore Scarlett on Twitter. Nothing's changed.
I'm at the Art of Trevor on Twitter. First letter of each word is capitalized except of, because it's a preposition.
It's really cheating.
At Tev Shakir, man. Appreciate y'all for listening.
And as always, at the Starting Five, the number five, MEM on Twitter as well. And till next time,
go Green.